Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. Whether or not you know Stan Lee, you know Stan Lee. He's alternatively been called the creator, the father, and the god of the Marvel Universe, with creations ranging from Spider-Man to the Fantastic Four to Daredevil, the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, the X-Men and Thor. Now, at 94 years old, yes, 94, Stan Lee is still traveling the country, appearing in cameos in virtually every Marvel movie and going to Comic-Con events. He's in town this weekend to speak at Boston's Comic-Con. We spoke to him earlier today at his hotel room in Downtown Crossing, and I started by asking him how he got into writing comics as a young man.
I had applied for a job at a publishing company because I wanted to be a writer, and I felt if you want to be a writer, the best place to work is at a place where they use written material. So I applied at this publishing company, and I found out the only opening they had was an assistant in the comic book department. So I figured, okay, I'll be an assistant in the comic book department. I never went out to say, I want to work in comics. It just happened that way. And somehow or other, I guess I wasn't good enough for anything else, but I stayed there all that time.
But when you started, though, I mean, did you feel a spark, a passion? Did it kind of feel like a good fit for you?
No, as a matter of fact, it didn't evoke any passion at all in the beginning because my publisher did not have any respect for his reader's intelligence. And all that he asked me to do was come up with stories that had a lot of running, jumping, fighting, shooting, and killing. He wasn't interested in characterization, in plotting, violence. He said, that's what the readers like. So for my first year or two in comics, I wrote these stories about people fighting each other. And it wasn't very satisfying, but it paid the rent. So one day I came home and I said to my wife, honey, I'm going to quit. It's ridiculous. I've got to get a better job somewhere else. And she gave me the wisest advice, the turning point in my life. She said, Stan, why don't you do a story the way you'd want to do it? You want to quit anyway, so if he fires you, so what? But at least you'll get it off your chest. So I wrote a story where it wasn't all fighting, but I tried to put some characterization, some reason why they were fighting, why they were the way they were. I tried to play up the characters rather than just the action. And I did the story, and I figured, okay, now I'll be fired. But it happened that that particular story sold pretty well. So I figured, well, I'll try it again. I wrote another story that way. And they started to sell well, and nobody yelled at me. And little by little, I started doing the stories the way I wanted to. And the books actually sold better that way. So that's how it all started for me, thanks to my wife.
I like you giving credit where credit's due to your wife. You know, it seems like you said you wanted the characters that you developed to have sort of a human side to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you think makes for a compelling superhero, for them to have a certain amount of, to have some flaws?
Well, I think that's what makes any character. If you're reading a story, the first thing the writer has to do is make the reader care about the character. Then he or she has to make the reader believe in the character, and then make the reader want to see what's going to happen to the character. There you are. I've just given a life's experience in three sentences.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I want to go back to, to care about the character, but also your characters have flaws in them. I mean, Daredevil is a blind hero. The X-Men are mutants. I mean, in reality, they're real, but they're also flawed in a very human way.
Well, I hate to admit this, but I think almost everybody has flaws. The part, of course, that I hate to admit is the fact that I imagine if I looked long enough, I'd even find a flaw in me, as unbelievable as that may sound. But it's true. I mean, we all have things that we wish we could do better. I mean, I was always skinny. I always wished I could be more muscular, like a weightlifter. Some people are short, they wish they were tall. Some people are tall, they wish they were shorter. I mean, everybody sort of wishes for something. The main point is not to make your character perfect, because except for myself, there are very few perfect people in the world.
So we're gonna jump back in time. You served stateside in World War II, right?
Yeah.
How much of that conflict made its way into your comics?
Well, it influenced our writing a lot because Hitler became the greatest villain we could ever write about. And I didn't create him. Joe Simon and Jack Kirby created Captain America, although later on I wrote Captain America stories. And he was a great character during the war. He was the ultimate patriotic American character.
You also grew up during the Depression. What do you remember from that time, and how did that influence your work?
Well, I remember not having enough money. My parents never had enough money. My father had been a dress cutter in Europe.
And they were Romanian immigrants, correct?
Yeah, from Romania. And he came over here and he had a tough time getting a job as a dress cutter. And most of my memories of him are just sitting in a room reading the want ads. And we didn't have that much dough, which is why I went to work when I was a teenager. I had to bring some money in. So my memories are not pleasant ones. They're memories of a man I felt sorry for because he wanted so badly to work and bring money in, and he couldn't get a job. And it was a tough time. And I was out there getting, this is before I went to work for the comics. I worked as a delivery boy for a company bringing lunches up to people at Radio City from the drugstore when they ordered lunch. I had stupid little, I had one job. I was an usher at the Rivoli Theater in Times Square. And in those days, the Rivoli Theater was very elegant. And one day, Mrs. Roosevelt, the wife of the president, came into the theater to see the movie. And there were six ushers. Each of us had an aisle. And we all hoped we'd get Mrs. Roosevelt to come down our aisle. Sure enough, she came down my aisle. And I said, "This way, Mrs. President." I don't think I should have called her Mrs. President, but it was all I could think of at the moment. And I started walking with my head high and my shoulders back. And some terrible person was sitting on the aisle and had his legs stuck out. And I tripped on his aisle and I fell on my face. And the next thing I know, the wife of the President of the United States has me by the shoulders and is saying, "Are you hurt, young man? Here, let me help you up."
Oh, my gosh.
And I was so embarrassed, but she was so sweet about it. She's a very nice lady. And so there I was. I had taken the President's wife down the aisle, and she helped me to my feet after I tripped over somebody.
You and Eleanor Roosevelt. Wow. Let's jump to your most famous creation. Tell us about Spider-Man and how he came to be.
I had already done the Fantastic Four, and they were doing well. And my publisher said to me, "Why don't you come up with another superhero? Let's get a lot of them." I said, "Okay." So I went home, and I thought, and I thought, and I saw a fly crawling on the wall. Now, when you come up with a superhero, the most important thing is what superpower do you give him? So I thought, gee, wouldn't it be something if I could get a superhero who could stick to walls like an insect? So then the next thing you need is a name. So I thought, Insect Man? Nah. Mosquito Man? I went on and on down the thing. And then I came to Spider-Man, and somehow Spider-Man, it sounded dramatic. And then I thought, to make him different, I'll make him a teenager instead of an adult. And finally, I thought, I'll give him a lot of personal problems, because most everybody has personal problems, but nobody ever mentions them in the comics. So I'll give him problems. He doesn't have enough money. He has an aunt who's ill, things like that. So I brought that idea to my publisher, who said to me, "Stan, that is the worst idea I have ever heard." He said, "First of all, people hate spiders, so you can't call a hero Spider-Man. You want him to be a teenager, Stan, a teenager can only be a sidekick, not a superhero. And finally, you want him to have personal problems? He's a superhero. Superheroes don't have personal problems. So I couldn't do it. But I couldn't get Spider-Man out of my head. And we were about to kill a magazine. When you're killing a magazine, you put out the last issue and nobody cares what's in it. So just for fun, I put Spider-Man in that magazine. A month later, after the sales figures came in, my publisher came running into my office excitedly, and he said, Stan, do you remember that character of yours, Spider-Man, that we both liked so much? He said, let's make him a series. And that's how Spidey was born.
And the rest is history, as they say.
And the rest is history.
Now, I know you're 94, but you're still working. So what's next for Stan Lee?
Probably some more cameos to do in the next few movies. I've gotten to love those cameos. And apparently the public gets a kick out of them, too. So I found a whole new way to entertain people. And it's not as hard as writing a comic book.
Stan Lee, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, dear. Excelsior.
Stan Lee will be speaking tonight at Boston Comic-Con at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. It's part of the schedule for the 10th anniversary of Comic-Con in Boston. You can find more information at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, Allison Bruzek, with help from Sean Bowden and Caitlin O'Keefe. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.